Hello and welcome to the Think Between Worlds podcast. In this week's episode, you'll find that we have quite a few spoilers about Avengers Infinity War. This is a pre-episode call-out for any and all spoilers. If you have not seen Avengers Infinity War, please do not listen to this episode of the podcast until you have. Thank you. In addition, at some point in the podcast, we mentioned that the previous episode that you should have listened to was the Pokemon episode. Due to some technical difficulties, the Pokemon episode needs to be re-recorded because it was corrupted. So we apologize for that. We hope you enjoyed the Super Mario Odyssey episode that came out last week. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome, everyone, to the Think Between Worlds podcast. Couple of quick notes before we get started. If the audio is crap, it's because we're filming in a car, because we just saw Avengers Infinity War. My name is David.
I'm Derek.
I'm emotional.
And I'm the Nick.
And he's the Nick.
Usually Mads MC.
Yeah.
Definitely Mads C now.
But because I saw Infinity War 2 days before the rest of the people here, I'm the MC because I had to plan all this out before the movie. We just left the movie. We are in a parking lot.
It is currently 5 after 11 p.m.
Holy
on
shit.
Thursday night.
So we apologize for any cars you might hear in the background, closing doors, noises.
This is right hot off the heels of seeing the film. We just got in the car. We need to do this now.
We're all crying. Madison is.
Spoilers, by the way.
If
you're going to talk about this film, you're going to talk Might spoilers. Well. That's the type of film it is.
There are excessive spoilers. If you have not seen Infinity War, turn this off.
Turn it off
now.
Unless you hate yourself.
Unless you don't care about spoilers at all. Right. Welcome to the podcast.
Listen
to us cry for 45 minutes.
Okay, so we're going to be posting this a week after the movie comes out. In the last episode, you were introduced to Nick because it's the Pokemon episode.
He was. Right.
And so I hope you enjoyed that. We've got the whole crew here. Shut up, Nick. All right. Before we get into Infinity War,
you shut up.
I need everyone to tell me what was your favorite Marvel movie before this. Derek?
I would say that's a tough question. It'd probably have to be the Winter Soldier. That's the one that blew my mind wide open, and I left immediately. Holy fucking moly!
It's a good one.
It's got to be Winter Soldier, mm-hmm. And then Civil War is almost on the same level, but I have to go with Winter Soldier.
All right, Nick.
Probably Guardians 2. I had like a lot of fun with that, and it really went far and beyond what I thought it was going to.
All right, Mads.
Iron Man 3 is probably my favorite Marvel film.
Interesting.
I had always liked Tony Stark. He was the reason why I got into Marvel films in the first place. I saw Iron Man back in 2008. And as somebody who struggles with mental illness, that follows about the same as Tony's does.
Right.
It resonated with me and just made me not only love Tony Stark as a character, but love the MCU as a whole even more than I did before.
I am post-traumatic.
Right.
Yeah.
It gives a great look. Talk about Iron Man the movie. It's about Iron Man. It's about Tony Stark.
Yeah.
You get into it. See, when people trash that film, it pisses me off.
Plus Shane Black.
I'm with Madison. I have the same exact opinion.
Yeah.
Just fun.
What about you, David?
My favorite was always Guardians 1.
Yeah.
I think it always will be.
Oh, it's pretty impressive.
The soundtrack is better than the second one, definitely. And not besides that, it's just it's a very good tale of, you know, just, oh my God, I don't know how to describe
it. The familial.
Yeah, I think I just relate to it a lot, that's all.
I like the way that James Gunn put it, the director. He came out not too long ago and he said Guardians of the Galaxy was about adults who were abused as children. and are coping with that abuse as adults and finding family in others.
Sounds about right, for me. Yeah.
Also, that's like when they started getting like really weird and fun.
Yeah, they just they went all out.
It's
with
just
Guardians.
A generally fun movie.
Yeah, Guardians is awesome.
Okay, next thing. Now, without going too into plot details, you guys can spoil some stuff, obviously, but without getting too into it, did this movie meet your expectations? Because boy, did it meet mine. And then some. And then also, it didn't. And
right.
broke my heart.
Right. Yeah.
But
no,
it was as good as I expected it to be.
It lives up to the hype.
Yeah.
It's, to me, it went pretty much exactly where I was hoping it would go.
Yeah.
And it went there. And it was just as effective and just as... By the way, people, when you go to see this thing, it's probably, if you're going to see it within the next 3 days, this is a Thursday evening, by the way. This is a preview showing.
Yeah, we're watching it on Thursday.
Correct.
You'll be seeing this the Monday... the second Monday after it comes out.
I can tell you it was the most reactive crowd I've ever been with.
Oh,
I've seen every major blockbuster.
Definitely.
This is... It doesn't get bigger than this.
Yeah.
There was cheering, clapping. At the end, very powerful ending, there was audible sobbing.
Yeah.
All around the theater.
That poor girl.
Audible.
Yeah.
This poor girl behind us
right
was
behind
sobbing.
Us, who was fucking torn apart.
Yeah, Madison,
not just
you,
her. I heard it popping up everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. You talk to that girl more. What was going on her?
I turned around because she was with a group of three. I turned around and I looked at the two that were right behind me and I go, was it you guys? And I looked over and this girl, pretty blonde girl, hair in braids, but she had mascara on.
Oh.
It was just like a fucking movie. Cartoon dark streaks down her face, all pink in the cheeks and red in the nose. And I was like, are you okay? And she goes, no, I am not okay. And it just, it went, it, I could feel that so much.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I tell people, if you know the it's called, I think it was Thanos Quest, was that initial storyline for the original Infinity War comic. It's got this Thanos Quest sort of vibe because that's what I'll say. That's what I think of the movie. I that thing ended. I'm like, you know, this is kind of Thanos Quest. It's actually, it is a part one.
Yeah.
And the ending is very...
It is very part
which we
one,
will talk about. I just don't want to say it just yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get to it. But it meets,
we're going
to
get to it in
it
a
meets
second.
Everything. It surpasses... it's a lot like Civil War. It bounces around a lot. There's a lot of plot threads and a lot of...
Stuff
right.
to follow.
It bounces
yeah.
around. So, you know, people that don't like that kinetic kind of energy in their film, they might be a little disappointed, only in plotting, but... The spectacle's all there.
Yeah.
The spectacle doesn't
it
get bigger.
It is very Avengers-esque.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Nick, did it meet your expectations?
I actually kind of went beyond it, in a way. Like, there's, like... I went in, like, half and half. Like, half me thinking, like, oh, it's going to live up to my expectations of, like, of the comic and, like, everything. And there's a part of me that's like, oh, but it's still Disney Marvel. There's probably going to play a little safe here and there. But then, at some point, I'm like, oh, shit, no, they're really... People are gonna get so fucking pissed. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's gonna
anyway. Yeah, I just like I really enjoyed it. Kind of. I think I don't know. I feel like I enjoyed it a lot.
All right.
Yeah.
Now because it's probably killing us all to talk about it, and we are all upset from what happened. Even Derek, I can tell, is a little upset.
I'm pretty upset.
He knew it was gonna happen, but he's still a little upset.
It doesn't make
we
it any
have
less
to,
good. Any
we
less
have
powerful.
To address the elephant in the room. And by elephant, I mean, did we expect all those deaths?
No, it's the scene is beautiful.
It's a no from me,
no.
Right? He's taking on is Thanos taking on Cap like that shot in the trailer, that money shot.
Yeah,
and then he snaps his fingers.
Oh, Thor.
He's taking on Thor.
Well, yeah, but like
Thor,
remember Thor attacks him with the axe.
Yeah,
gets it in his chest. He should have hit me in the head.
At that point, I thought like, oh shit, they're gonna bust out or whatever.
He snaps his fingers, and there's this massive whoosh, and you see the gauntlet, and it's fried, and broken, and you're sitting there going, he failed. Something went wrong here. Except he steps backwards into a portal with this very satisfied look on his face.
Yeah.
And then everything gets quiet and you go, oh, shit.
Oh, who is it?
And then,
he just killed half of all life in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bucky dies.
Bucky's
and
the first,
and
one,
then,
to
first
go.
One to go.
And then Falcon dies.
And what's happening? How are they dying?
They're just disintegrating,
disintegrating.
Into ash.
They're falling, yeah.
They're,
it's the
they're
ash of
falling
war.
Away to dust.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
Cap's like
then,
holding onto like soil.
And then
yeah.
Black Panther dies.
Well, that was, they fooled you. You thought it was going to be Danny Guerra.
Yeah, you thought it was going to be his right-hand woman.
Right, he's like, oh, no. And then it's him. He just goes, poof. And you're like, oh, shit. Yeah.
That's the one where I'm like, oh, shit, the theater's going to burn down.
They got me.
Yeah.
Well, especially considering the entire row in front of us was all, like, very heavily,
it was a large,
super black people.
It was a large black family. And the minute Wakanda came into the plot, I was loving it. They were cheering and chanting.
Which is great. It was
awesome. They're my favorite. Every time
great crowd.
They
great
made the movie awesome.
They did.
Before we continue, I want to apologize for anyone wearing headphones. I'm gonna try and fix the audio, but it won't be perfect because we are going
loud.
To get loud.
Yeah.
Good luck
fresh.
With that.
We want it fresh.
But yeah,
we want it fresh in our heads.
Yeah, and then after Black Panther died, who was it?
Just everyone
started going.
Everyone's going.
Mantis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Falcon disintegrated. And then War Machine is like, Sam, where are you? And he missed some. And then Groot. Groot was
teenage
the one that
Groot.
Killed him.
Groot disappeared.
And Rocket's like, not again.
Yeah. The whole theater
actually,
was
no,
like,
no. He just kept saying no. Somebody in the theater said not again.
No, but I mean, the face. His face is very, I've seen this
now.
Before.
I gotta deal with this.
I couldn't tell if it was the guy in front of me or the guy behind me. I heard like a really loud beside him, like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, it was all of the Guardians.
And then it cut to Titan, then Mantis
Nebula.
Died, and then fucking Drax died.
And then Peter
And
goes.
Then fucking Peter Quill dies.
Peter's gone.
And then the worst.
It's pretty bad.
The
adorable. The
worst part. Let's talk about this.
The adorable Spider-Man.
My boy.
Yeah, see.
My baby.
We have to address this, because the movie starts out with Tony talking to Pepper about how he had a dream that they had a kid, and so when he woke up that morning, he thought maybe she might be expecting, you know, she might be pregnant, and she's like, no, that's not what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's this whole thing where, yeah, he's kind of got this father-son relationship going on with Peter.
Yeah.
And out of fucking nowhere, and then he's... Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good.
It's close up on Tony. And Tony's sitting there and he just watched fucking Doctor Strange dissipate. And he's sitting there and you hear it and it's so broken and sad and scared.
That's the one that got me pretty good.
Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good. Yeah. And he turns and Peter's sitting there holding his chest and his stomach.
And then he hugs him.
And he starts falling into Tony's arms and he's like, I don't want to go.
Yeah, he's shushing him. It's all right, kid. Go into the good night.
It's like, no.
And then you linger on Tony Stark for 15 whole seconds. Like, I have lost. We have all just lost.
And he's alone again.
And you see him realizing this is happening all over the universe right now. You just see it. However Robert Downey Jr. did it. Holy shit, that look on his face.
Oh, man.
But then it's just that final scene to me. Any scene with Thanos in this movie is amazing. Because there's never one joke, there's never one moment of levity. He is very serious, and the music is always so brooding, and you're just... It's that final shot. He didn't smile once the whole film. He goes, I think he's in, like, Norway or something. He's at, like, a farm
or
somewhere.
It wasn't Norway, because there was a weird planet in the sky.
It
was
like
some alien world. Yeah.
He just sits down and looks at this new sunrise.
Planet Norway.
And he doesn't quite smile, but he has this...
Space Norway.
I was thinking
space
some
Norway.
Thor reference.
Space
right?
Australia.
And it looks like he's about to crack a smile, but you don't see what his face is going to do, because all you do is, it's all in the eyes, however the animators did it. Mm-hmm. He's thinking, like, every thought ever. It's, I've done it, I've succeeded, but have I? But
and then it cuts
the sun's rising, and you don't see, is he going to smile? Is he going to, and then it cuts to black, end of movie. You get a sense that he's satisfied, but maybe he's not. Yeah. He has this genuinely curious kind of, it's in his eyes, and that had to have been one of, like, the best moments in the film, and it's the final couple
it's
of seconds
shot.
Of that movie.
He's purple, but he might be feeling blue.
Just the emotion. Josh Brolin, congratulations. Like, anyone doubting Marvel's villain problem, Thanos Rex, he wins this movie,
folks. He fucking
folks.
Tears it, yeah.
All right, well,
there's one or two times where, like, he kind of looks a little too CGE, but there's, like, one or two. Mostly when he's, like, in, like, against too much light or whatever. There's only one or two times where I was really distracting, but then towards the end, I just really dug
one,
him too much.
It's
more.
The
I don't mind.
Yeah, one time that distracted me was when he was choking Loki. You could see Loki, like, moving against, like...
He's, like, phasing through
It didn't
hand.
Quite
yeah.
hit the CG perfectly on
you
Loki's neck.
You could see the
neck.
Wire work, and it didn't match up with where Thanos is actually holding.
Yeah.
That's a minor complaint.
Right. No, the eyes. I don't know if they actually kept Josh Brolin's real eyes, but his eyes aren't that blue. Thanos' eyes were kind of purplish, I think. They were kind of iridescent greenish purple or blue. I couldn't tell.
Actually, I'm pretty... pretty sure that his eyes changed with each new stone he got.
They might have.
Yeah. With each stone he used, his eyes changed.
I don't know.
Because if you remember when Quill used the, and when Ronan had the purple stone, the power stone, their eyes turned a kind of a purple. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Even though Ronan didn't have purple eyes beforehand, it did turn purple when he had it.
Yeah.
So
maybe, I didn't know. That's a fun one. I'm just so used to, like, in the comic, him just having, like, little black dots.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to watch it again. We're going to watch it again, obviously.
This is not a one viewing. This this is a three viewing kind of film. Everybody, you're all going back to see this one. All
right.
There's a lot. Like, some stuff I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
to wrap up the death part, the thing that everyone's going to drive, going to go crazy about.
Or they're not gonna tell you. They're gonna drive themselves trying not to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
whose death hurt you the most? I know hers was Spider-Man.
It's gotta be Spider-Man.
Mine was Spider-Man.
It's gotta be Spidey.
How about you?
It's Spider-Man.
Honestly, I kind of felt bad when Drax died.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty.
He was like one of my favorites from the Guardians. So like when I saw him, like when he faded away, like throughout the whole movie, he's always like telling like a little quip or something like that. Right. But then he's just like. I'm like,
Yeah, you're like, say something funny, just, add some levity.
Batista, Quill. You're a national treasure.
Right. and he just says Quill, but they were
just
in
a his jokes kill it in this movie. Every single one brought the house down. And he has that final moment. And like, I thought he was going to say something funny.
Yeah.
Something with levity. And then just a look at Peter Quill.
Wait. Maybe he didn't die? Maybe he just stood so still he turned invisible.
That'd be the greatest twist. The next one begins and Batista's standing there like, it worked. It fucking worked. Gotta fucking kill them.
The next movie starts off like that. That'd be the greatest callback ever.
Oh, that'd be the most. Pay attention, folks. Pay attention.
All right. On lighter things, because that is so fucking heavy.
It's just crazy.
So fucking heavy. Was there a team up you liked more than the others? Of all the random team-ups they had in the movie.
They get everybody together.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but, you know.
Not all in one scene, but it's anyone you've ever wanted to see talk to another character.
Pretty much.
Does, and when it comes around, it's always amazing. Like, I realized something. People were, clapping and laughing. I realized that wasn't actually that funny, what they said. It's the fact that it's finally the characters
just that
meeting.
They're together.
You're hyped, so you're laughing and screaming at everything they say to each other.
Did you have a team-up you liked, guys? Backseat?
I don't think it's stopping them. The only thing coming to my mind is, like, I thought it was cool when, like, Winter Soldier and Rocket.
Rocket and Bucky.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
Screaming.
That was my favorite.
Everybody was going ham.
Can I get your gun or whatever? Not for sale.
How about the arm?
How about your arm? Yeah.
Just kind of gives them a glare.
Okay, so you guys didn't hear this very well because everyone was, like, laughing at the gun joke.
Yeah.
But, so he's just like, you know, how much for the gun? Not for sale. How about the arm? And he just walks away, you know, looks at him like, what the fuck's wrong with him? He walks away. Everyone was laughing at that.
But if you listen
very carefully through the crowd, fucking Rocket's like, I'm going to get me that arm.
Right. By the way, here's some note. You guys are going to have to see this 2 to 3 times because the responses from people, I lost like half the dialogue in the film.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what did he just say? Because people were laughing and clapping over it.
There was one that I knew everyone was going to miss, and it was true. You missed it. When Tony's talking about the ice cream flavor that didn't after him.
Yeah.
Everyone was laughing their asses off, but I gave up dairy, but then Ben and Jerry's made an ice cream flavor after me. And everyone was laughing at that, but while it was going on, you hear Doctor Strange say, Stark Raving Hazelnut. That was the name of the ice cream.
And then Wong
mentions the Hulk...
The Hulk-themed one. Well,
I forget the name of that one.
I prefer Hulk whatever. And Banner's like, really?
That's
like,
a thing?
Yeah, hey, since I've been gone.
Yeah.
I think my favorite team-up, and it's going to sound really weird because I'm like vehemently against Beanween Crunchwrap, I really liked Tony Stark and Doctor Strange working off of each other.
Battle of the goatees. Goatees.
Just like... Because, they were really at odds at first.
Yeah.
And then Doctor Strange goes, spare his life, and I will give you the stone. He would rather have given the stone than watch Tony Stark die.
Right.
And like,
well, okay, hold on.
And like, yeah, I get it. It's a whole protection of the protection of the universe thing or whatever, but at the same time, like that.
No.
All right.
Yeah. No, you have to remember, though. he sat there and meditated. I've seen this movie twice now, so I've got an idea.
Right.
He saw every possible future. The only one where they succeeded
is the one that they were in.
Had to be the one that he made happen.
It's the one we give up the stones.
Yes, the one where Thanos does it. Right. And then somehow when Thanos' guard is down, whoever remains is going to go get it. And save the universe.
Right, yeah. That's what I figured. I thought he was going to like say that before he turned to dust or that's whatever. Because otherwise, I'd be all like, why?
He said we're in the final stages or whatever.
We're at the end game. We're at the final. Yeah, the end game. We're at the final whatever.
Yeah, but that's vague enough.
Right. Yeah.
They probably will.
And then he said this. It was the only way. When he's talking, before he disappears.
Right. Yeah.
So it means that...
Well, he went confidently. He was very just like really... Everyone, it's sad, but when he goes, it's this very confident. He looks Tony directly in the eye, almost self-assured. And very like, Tony, this is how it had to go.
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking about it, that might almost be a wink-wink.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we'll be back, you know, or we'll all be back, all of us that disintegrated.
Our contracts aren't over yet.
Right, but yeah. Oh, go online and check the contracts. They're all coming back.
Yeah. All right.
Doesn't make it any less powerful.
No. Let's go to the next one. The next item on the list. Your opinion on Hulk / the lack thereof. Like, he showed up. I love that Loki thing. That like, amazing. We have a Hulk. Yeah. And then Hulk comes out and starts beating the shit out of Thanos.
And then Thanos grabs his arm and stops him. It's a good opening scene. It comes out of nowhere.
Puny Hulk.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, I was waiting for that line.
Everyone thinks that Hulk's always that wild card, like, come on, get the Hulk or whatever. But to start the movie off, well, first of all, they start the movie with the guy walking over corpses.
Not only any corpses as well. All of the fucking Asgardians. And no one noticed it. No one saw it. I thought I saw it, and I had to double check because I wasn't sure if she was even on the ship with them at the end of the movie. Valkyrie died, and no one fucking noticed.
Her dead
body was right there when what's-his-name was walking the wizard Maw. Alien. Yeah. Ebony Maw.
Ebony Maw.
Was walking through the corpses. No one fucking noticed. And I was like,
oh,
was that?
Yeah.
And when the movie ended, I pulled out my phone and I watched the end scene of Thor Ragnarok. She's standing right there.
Yeah.
Which means she died.
Yeah.
Which is going to piss off a bunch of people because... Yeah. She was a huge part of Ragnarok. Everyone fucking loved her.
Yeah.
Oh, and Heimdall's dead, too.
Could be back.
Yeah.
Fucking Heimdall died. What the fuck?
Well, I thought it was interesting. Speaking of Heimdall, we'll get to the Hulk, I guess.
Yeah.
It's this very serious opening scene. Oh, a lot of stakes. And then Loki steps forward and bargains with Thanos and then just kind of drops it off for, well, what do you have? What do you accept betrayal and treachery that you've only showed me? We have a Hulk. Fucking Hulk comes in from the side and fucks Thanos.
And everybody goes ham,
Yeah, for about a minute until Thanos is like, oh, okay. And they're about the same size.
Yeah, the problem is, though, is that Hulk is a rage monster and Thanos has been trained at fighting and is already strong because of the Power Stone.
He already has one stone, which he got off screen on Xandar.
It's
just like, oh, he fucks Xandar up.
I'm really glad I didn't have to see Glenn Close or John C. Reilly die, but I'm pretty sure they're dead.
Oh, yeah.
Could be.
Okay. Now I'm sad.
But yeah, Hulk, he basically Thanos beats the shit
Thanos
out of Hulk.
Thanos is 100% a dick.
Yeah. But a badass. But yeah, he basically scares the Hulk so far into Banner's psyche that he won't come out.
Yeah.
Which, to me, that's like a good... To me, that's a great... It's a twist.
Yeah, that was something
that's
that...
a reveal. Don't let anybody spoil that. The Hulk is barely in this movie.
Yeah, people in my theater, when I saw it with my coworkers at AMC... they were just like, why the fuck isn't Hulk coming out? And I'm like, he's afraid.
Yeah, he's already dealt with Thanos once.
He's terrified. And the Hulk never is scared.
Yeah. How do you scare the Hulk?
Like, you this kick guy, his ass.
This guy is legitimate. Yeah. Wow. So the stakes are very high in this movie right off the bat.
I thought it was fine. I liked the fact that we got to see Mark Ruffalo
do some shit.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that. Because at the end, he's fighting...
You're embarrassing me, Banner.
His name's Black
Dwarf. In front of the Wizards.
Right.
Yeah.
Black Dwarf. They changed his name to Cole Obsidian, I think. He's fighting the Hulk ripoff alien, one of the Black Order.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there and you're like,
tugs off the Hulkbuster
armor. He's
going to
Hulk out. He's going to tear out of the armor and fuck him up.
Yeah.
And Banner does it on his own. He cleverly kind of
finds a way.
He takes one of the hands with the jet propulsion systems on it, puts it on a...
The dude says bye and hits the button.
Yeah, sends him right into the Wakandan dome.
Which disintegrates him.
And then he just cheers like, I did it! I didn't need the Hulk! Or, oh, neat.
Yeah.
Good thing most of like the gory casualties were mostly aliens. Otherwise,
it's kind of lost in explosions.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's green blood. Who cares?
Yeah.
Those giant saw blades.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The movie's it's better at its emotional beats, because I was sitting there going, you know, there's a lot of shaky cam, generalized CG armies going on here. Yeah.
A little bit, but those things are creepy. They remind me of the monsters from A Quiet Place, not even joking. And Madison said, wow, Venom cameo is pretty good.
Yeah, they look like
they're weird maw mouths, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they kind of got like half of a xenomorph alien thing going on, part symbiote, Quiet Place.
Part that frog from Brawlout.
Right. But it's like the audience cares mostly about, okay, the cool fight, yeah, but I want to see them interacting. So when you get something like Rocket grabbing onto Winter Soldier and he spins him around and they're both shooting him, that's why we're there. By the way, the loudest cheer I've ever heard in a movie theater ever is Thor making it to the fight at the end. He spends the whole movie trying to craft a new Mjolnir, which is Stormbringer.
Yeah.
For all you comic
Stormbreaker.
Fans.
With
Stormbreaker
giant or Stormbringer? Peter Dinklage.
They call him Stormbreaker.
Is that Beta Ray Bill's Stormbringer?
Stormbringer might be in the comics, really, but they changed it.
So maybe it was never Bringer, it was always Breaker.
It might be Beta Ray Bill's, to be honest. I don't remember.
Stormbreaker. But
it's still awesome. It's a giant axe hammer.
With a wonderful, wonderful Bart played by Peter Dinklage. The half giant.
There are three great cameos in this movie. One being the immortal Stan Lee.
He's
in there, of course.
No one heard what he said. I had to tell Madison.
Everyone's cheering.
What's the matter with you kids? You ain't never seen a spaceship before?
Right, he's a calm ass bus because it's on Peter Parker's bus.
Yeah. Yep.
He needs to escape and get
he's
to
the bus driver.
Oh, yeah, and he's like, hey, kids, what? You never seen a spaceship before? Oh my God.
Excelsior.
And then halfway through the movie, this is the big spoiler. If you thought you expected all this, you weren't expecting this one.
Yeah, so it involves the Soul Stone.
It involves going to get the Soul Stone. There is a the second big cameo
that no one saw coming.
Everyone forgot about this guy.
Everyone. I was blown away.
Every person in that theater.
Once again, spoiler, turn this thing off if you because you did not expect this one, I promise you. Red Skull.
He's out there, and he's kind of become
a pseudo space wizard. Like,
he has become the guardian of the Soul Stone,
which is
a weird thing for him to become.
Weird Nazi.
Right, Nazism so beneath him. Now he's like this cloaked Gandalf. Like, I've been guarding the bird.
Yeah.
Forever. Now you must do this, and it leads to probably the best scene in the film.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But three is Peter Dinklage, which a lot of people knew he was going to be in here, but not like.
Literally himself. Yeah.
They filmed him separately on like a green really, screen.
Oh, yeah. Obviously.
It's like a really big version of his character from Pixels.
Right. Yeah, basically. Meets Tyrion Lannister.
It sounded like him. Like, hello, Thor. I'm going to help you now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so three big cameos in there. They're all really
good. All of them were awesome.
Oh, my God.
I mean, in a movie consisting of everyone meeting everyone.
This movie is so fucking good. I don't even...
Okay.
It's gonna be interesting.
It does hinge. There's the flaw, and this is the flaw anyone talks about. Everyone's seen every film, but the flaw is it's not the movie. Kind of doesn't wait for you. It does try to, like David said, it catches Tony Stark up for the sake of we need to fix that continuity error.
Yeah.
So literally off screen, it just cuts back to him like Infinity Stones.
What's his name again?
Oh, cool. They caught Tony up. Now we can get the plot moving.
Yeah.
But this movie, it moves. It's like 2 hours and almost 40 minutes, but it doesn't feel like it.
Wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's small little tiny callbacks that Peter keeps making. Pop culture references.
Yeah.
Okay, that was pretty fucking
funny.
There's
just little tiny things where it's like, you know, if you've seen the other ones, you get this is a recurring
gag.
There's our bad guy. What's your plan?
Right.
You ever seen this really old movie called Aliens?
I'm still thinking, like, how is that from Aliens? Like,
the sucking the bad guy into space. The alien into space.
I thought it was hitting him from the side. I'm like, I don't remember.
No, it was sucking the alien into space,
the
man.
The queen. When they said the queen.
I was picturing he was going to turn the Stark suit into a big mech rig or something. And then all of a sudden, just like, the kid's seen more movies. Missile, space, suction. And I'm like, oh, that's the reference.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty neat.
There's a fourth cameo, the Iron Spider legs.
Yeah.
That trip, it was ruined about 2 weeks ago with a Sideshow collectible.
Dude, it was ruined months ago because of the toy.
But it didn't make it any less. The theater lost their shit and started cheering because he starts getting sucked out. You're like, oh, no. And he grabs onto something and he misses. And you're like, what is he going to grab onto? And Iron Spider legs.
Yeah.
Kind of saves him from the large rift there, right out into space.
Yeah.
Fourth, kind of, sort of a cameo.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't make a lot of notes because this movie is just so fucking nuts.
Train of thought.
Very
stream of consciousness.
This is very in the now. Yeah.
Yeah. That ending though, like not counting the after credit sequence, that ending. Where are we going from here? Mm-hmm. What?
Listen.
How are they gonna get it back from Thanos?
I don't know. I'm angry.
Mads is angry.
I am very angry. I'm angry because I'm sad.
It's
like my anger and my sadness wrap very closely together. So like, I don't understand where we're going from here, and it makes me so goddamn angry. I just don't understand.
That's a strength.
Yeah.
To me, that's good when you're left like, where can they go?
Yeah. You know,
like,
oh, by the way,
how are they gonna do it?
And they can do it.
By the way, for those of you who are Doctor Who fans, this hurts Madison and I even more because we just saw David Tennant's 10th Doctor die, and he says, I don't want
to
go.
And then fucking
Tom Holland's Peter Parker.
Baby Tom Holland.
Hugging Iron Man. I don't want to go.
I don't want to go. And it's like, cool. Take me instead.
Nick and I, we both feel effed up. I feel effed up because I was sitting there, powerful, great ending, and I'm loving it, but part of me, having been an actor, and same with Dave, a lot of us in this car in the performing arts, the magic sometimes is kind of ruined, so sometimes you're enjoying more of the audience reaction. So mm-hmm. I couldn't help but sit there almost like a Schadenfreude, where you're like, you're almost getting off on the misery of other people. I'm sitting there just loving the reactions everybody's having.
Well, it shows that
satisfied and smug. Like, yeah. I felt this was going to happen. I kind of felt they were really going for this. They were going hard. They weren't going home. And so I'm sitting there like shaking my head like, yes.
You smug? Never.
It was a fucking, it just smugger than usual.
Like, to be honest, I was sitting there doing the exact same thing. I was listening for the audience responses.
Yeah.
Just because, like, that's one of the best parts of going out and seeing a film like this.
And especially a second time. And that's why you go a second time, because you're watching other people watch.
Yeah.
I was watching you guys, and the only person I got reactions out of was my girlfriend.
Well, and she was emotional over there.
She was all over the
place. This guy kept grabbing my leg, which would kind of give away the fact something bad was about to happen. So he would do that and go, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm like, oh, let me guess. A whole bunch of people are about to die.
My body is not ready.
Right. Because he kept grabbing my leg like, all right, get ready, buddy. This is going to break you. And I'm like, thanks for ruining it by giving me the assured leg, like, pat. The knee pat.
I saw Tony Stark get stabbed, and I legitimately almost walked out.
She almost
put stuff in my lap. I was like, all right, I'm out of here. Like, I'm not doing
Madison,
this today.
Madison has said from the very beginning that if Tony Stark died in this film, she would walk out and never watch a single Marvel movie again.
I'd never see another Marvel film.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. I told her beforehand that she would not have to walk out of this movie.
But the thing was,
and I told her to get tissues.
He also told me these things, but he doesn't like when he spoils things for me. The entire day it was, I don't want to talk too much, I don't want to spoil things for you. And I was sitting there and I was like, okay, maybe he was leading me on this entire time, and I really do have to watch Tony Stark fucking die. Like,
of course, it's a rite of passage.
Now, okay, here's the thing. When it comes, we have a history because I didn't tell her about Wash from Firefly. Spoilers for Firefly.
Oh my god.
You're the real monster.
Yeah.
35 minutes into this podcast, and you just ruined Firefly for
guys. It's like a 20-year-old series
like
at this point.
15 years, yeah.
Fucking deal with it.
Dumbledore dies on page 675.
And Snape's the one who kills him.
Snape kills Dumbledore.
If that gets us some hate, you're behind and fuck you. All right,
you're listening to a pop culture podcast, and you're going to get upset when we just start shooting pop culture. I'm shooting pop everywhere, man.
But like, I get so defensive about nothing happening yet.
Oh my god. It's just, oh my god. I have been dying for the past 2 days trying to not tell these fuckers what happened in the movie.
Watching Peter Parker die was not okay at all.
Everybody else goes kind of heroically. Everyone's like, and then I guess this is it. We did
they
our best.
Let
but,
it go.
But he's this poor young but kid. Like, I don't want to die. 15-year-old
kid who looks to Tony Stark like a dad, like a father. And he's sitting there looking at Tony like, I need your help. please save me, and he can't do anything.
Nope.
Yeah, no, they acted their parts out, and it would have been greater if I didn't know if they were going to make more movies.
Yeah, I gotta say, the way that Marvel formula works.
Yeah, just but like, but yeah. I gotta say, one of the best things that came out of this movie, besides, of course, the villain and Thanos, is that last couple of ending shots. No music.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Stark sitting on Titan, his just looking mournful and sad because he knows that they have failed.
It's him and Nebula, a complete stranger for all intents and purposes. He doesn't know who Nebula is. He's all alone.
Yeah.
He's possibly lost Pepper Potts too.
Oh right. Yeah.
Yeah, like
has no idea.
He probably lost Pepper. He probably lost Happy again too. Like he might be completely alone.
Yeah. And then it cuts to Wakanda and we've got Vision's dead body. We've got everyone trying to figure out what the fuck just happened because people were disappearing in front of them. And you just see Cap sitting there and Rhodey walking up going like, what's going on? What happened? And then they just sit there and breathe.
And then he goes...
And it holds on that shot.
Yeah.
And then it ends.
Right. He doesn't.
No. Cap says two words. He goes, oh no. And then it cuts to the next shot. Because he realizes what happened. Like, he knows something bad just happened.
And then Kirk Cameron and Nicolas Cage come along and they say, this is just the beginning.
Left behind.
It turns out we watched Marvel's Left Behind 2.
Right. I am going to punch you both in the face.
It's now the connected Left Behind Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I'm going to put an Infinity Gauntlet on my fist and punch you both in the face.
Disney bought Christianity. This was going to happen.
Christianity?
I mean, come on, look at Bucky Barnes.
Yeah.
He looks like Jesus.
Okay, that was fucking hilarious.
Thanks.
Bucky Barnes walks up. They go to hand him the arm. She yells out in the theater.
Oh, look, it's Jesus.
And all the black people in front of us start laughing their asses
off. The behind us started cracking
up.
He does look like Jesus. I was sitting there and I was like, cool.
The whole theater was laughing. They all
I was tempted to say, bitch, you know Jesus is black.
Right.
But
but
I didn't.
Okay, Aaron Gruden.
Yeah, not from a white guy. Not from a bunch of white kids.
I guess we'll move to the credits.
Okay, so...
Madison here had to go to the restroom, but she gets the biggest middle finger.
The biggest middle finger to the audience. Okay, they have that whole thing where it's starring, and it goes to the title of the movie, and it should go to the mid-credit stinger.
Everyone's waiting for it. Everyone's shushing. Shush.
We see the title, and then randomly, at a random pace, all the letters in Avengers Infinity War dissolve like all of our heroes did.
Like the characters.
And then... it just starts the rolling credits.
And every single person.
Your mid-credit sequence. Yeah. Your mid-credit sequence just fades away.
There's nothing. Yeah.
You think it's going to start, and it's just like the heroes. Just push.
Life sucks, kids.
Yeah. Symbolic, metaphorical.
And then you die.
Really?
And then we get the actual end-credit sequence after everything is all said and done.
It's pretty hopeful. I mean...
Yes.
You watch Nick Fury and...
it's hopeful enough.
And Maria Hill.
Maria Hill.
Kobe Smulders.
I almost said Amanda Hill. That's the problem. They're driving and you're actually seeing the ramifications in like either Washington or New York or wherever
they are. Of the people disappearing,
You're seeing helicopters crashing. Cars have just stopped because people have disappeared from them. And then Hill starts to disintegrate Fury and then he's like, oh shit.
Pulls a pager out.
And she starts dissolving.
Right. And then he's... grabs something out of his pocket.
Well, it looks like a pager.
Out of the car.
He's clearly messaging someone like, I have to send out this last desperate message. And then he looks at his hand, he starts disintegrating, and he finally almost gets a motherfucker in there. Sam Jackson almost gets, he goes, oh, motherfucker.
He disappears.
He drops the pager.
And then it is a
and
pager.
It zooms in, and it takes a second.
It's making us all go,
who is it?
Come on!
The most powerful Marvel hero.
It's going sending.
... And then the logo shows up. Captain Marvel.
Ms. Marvel,
Captain Marvel.
The red and the blue and the star in the center. Right. And everybody was like, whoa! Yeah. And then it cuts to black. And that normal, like, the Avengers will return. Yeah, no, none of that in this one, folks.
Yeah.
Thanos will return. And then it completely fucking cuts. And you're like... fuck off. Yeah. I hate you.
Thanos will be back.
The only way it could have fucked off even worse is if it shows, like, the pager getting the message, and it turns out Captain Marvel disappeared, too.
Oh, goddammit.
Even worse. Well, Nick here was hoping to see something else after the credits.
Yeah.
What?
No one else.
Yeah. Nobody will return in Avengers 4.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, pretty close.
Yeah, you basically got that with Thanos Jesus. Will return. It's yeah, like, that, are that, you kidding
it's
me?
Encapsulated in the Thanos will be back.
Yeah, Thanos will
like,
be back.
Dot, like, dot,
fuck
dot.
All your heroes.
Well, Ant-Man and Wasp?
Yeah, we don't know. One of them went, most likely.
Yeah, we're looking for that.
Oh, fuck me. I didn't even think about
beginning
that.
Beginning of Ant-Man and Wasp is post-Infinity War. This is Ant-Man holding, Scott Lang holding his daughter.
I didn't even think of that.
They didn't show him throughout the entire film, and then they show him disappeared. I can't take Paul Rudd seriously anyway, so I can't imagine him just disappearing.
Oh,
like,
man. Oh, damn, that sucks.
I'm picturing the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp. Is when Infinity War takes place.
Yeah. Probably the
and
start of it, yeah.
Like, the after credits singer there is going to be, like, Ant-Man, Wasp, and Michael Douglas all hanging out.
Hank Pym, yeah.
And Hank Pym and Paul Rudd's character dissolve, and it's just Wasp going, what?
Yeah.
I hate living in this goddamn Marvel universe. Actually, I was seeing, I couldn't help but say it out loud, but Sam Jackson there in that post-credit stinger, like, man, I'm tired of this fucking superhero shit in this Marvel goddamn cinematic universe.
I'm tired of these motherfucking aliens right, in my motherfucking universe.
In my motherfucking New York sky portal, goddammit. Yeah, but there's really so much to unpack.
This is a hard movie
to unpack at once. All of us. I got an idea here. I guess I'll take over as MC for about 5 seconds here. Thanos.
What about him?
Opinions on him.
He's a great villain, but I want to fucking kill him.
Yeah.
I want to chop off his dick and feed it to him.
Like, none of us actually kind of
make him shit it out and then shove it in his mouth again.
No, but seriously, I mean, in terms of, like, could you invest in this guy? Did you find him? Like I said, I found him to be every scene he was in felt not Academy Award winning, but very serious.
Don't get me wrong. Well acted. Don't get me wrong. Thanos is maybe the best villain of all time.
He's pretty iconic. He's gonna be iconic.
He's one of those villains who isn't a villain just because I'm going to conquer the world. Wah! No,
he honestly
believes that what he is doing is the right thing, and that makes him far more compelling than any other villain could.
It's like I said, it's in his eyes. I mean, it just looks like he's gonna cry all the time. I don't know how he looks so tough, but his eyes are always so watery because, like, he does monologue a lot. He's very villainous in that way. Like, I'm gonna monologue about everything.
For 2 minutes,
but they're not bad monologues.
No, they're very good monologues.
It's pretty appropriate.
You can put all these on a shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate what they did with him in the film. Like, I figured they weren't going to do the literal, like, he wants to fuck Death, who's a lady. Well, spoiler alerts, in comics, Death
he
is
wanted
like a
to
chick
bang
that,
Hella, yeah.
More like just
not
like,
Hella, no. Just the
just Death,
death
yeah,
itself.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
the goddess yeah, the, of Death, no, Death itself.
Lady
yeah.
Death, yeah.
Yeah. And, well, technically, Death can take on any form, but whatever.
Right.
In him is someone, a desirable, someone to love. And he just, that's why he kills half the universe and does all this shit.
And she
won't love him. She will not give him the time of day.
Right.
And that's hilariously
she
tragic.
She wants that
in the
Deadpool
book.
Dick.
So, in the movie, to make it all like, oh, he wants, like, population control, that's fine.
Yeah.
Right. There's, you can tell he has a traumatic, I mean, you go to Titan. Yeah. And he does the reality stone, which I figured to be the time stone, but he doesn't actually want to rewind time, so he kind of shows you what things are. And it's like, this was my home world. It was ravaged by war, overpopulation, overconsumption of resources. And that's the moment when you go, okay, that's why this guy's doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I used to be a scientist.
Before, yeah.
Right, and it just traumatized him. And maybe he had a family once outside of Gamora and Nebula.
Yeah,
there's a lot in
that
moment.
Was actually his. Yeah.
Right. There's a lot in that monologue on Titan to Tony Stark. Well, the other Tony Stark's crew and the Guardian crew that are there.
Yeah.
And it's probably one of his better scenes, but, like, shit, I say every scene with this guy.
Right.
It's just amazing.
Yeah. Overall, I liked him a lot. Like I said, a couple scenes he looked fakey fake, but it wasn't too distracting.
Right. Not as bad as Steppenwolf. Or
yeah,
like
no.
That.
That was my first thing. I'm like, oh, who wants to watch a superhero movie with an all CG villain? Oh, shit.
That's a whole other podcast.
But in his defense,
Uncanny.
His look is very, like, distinct. And, like, you could probably do a giant puppet, but it looks cool in CG.
Right. Yeah.
He looks like Josh Brolin.
Meanwhile, Steppenwolf is just some guy in a helmet. You can do that with, just a guy in a helmet.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But then it's just, I'm still just kind of wordless.
He was such a compelling villain.
Yeah.
You know, it like David said, it wasn't just, we want to rule the world. It's, I know what humanity unchecked can do.
Right.
That's why I'm here to do it. Mm-hmm. And, like, his stuff with Gamora, especially, like, because I... Anyway, I have more mental stuff to deal with, but, like, his stuff with Gamora is really emotional and super deep and compelling and just riveting to watch, and, like...
I guess we should talk about that scene, I guess. The big, the first big, well, next to Loki. Yeah. But a lot of people figured Loki was gonna...
Yeah.
Like, spoiler, Loki dies at the beginning.
No one saw Valkyrie, so she was the first one dead. And what's his name?
Heimdall.
The rock monster.
Or Korg is probably
Korg. Korg's dead.
Yeah.
Meek.
Korg's dead. And the little bug guy.
Yeah, Meek. Yeah,
yeah, they're all dead, obviously.
Maybe he's hiding. He's probably fine.
He's gonna save everybody. Maybe he's a time traveling bug.
MacGuffin,
His race can time travel. It's in their iridescent their skin.
But they're actually immortals or whatever.
But then after that,
It was Heimdall and then Loki.
Yeah. Loki gets fucking choked out too.
Yeah.
It's not like a stab through the heart and that's it.
You watch his eyes turn red.
Yeah. You watch the life fucking drain from his face and his nose vessels pop.
Right.
And
his veins
all
burst
over,
and
you're like, holy shit.
Like, there was a redemptive moment there for Loki that I think kind of summed up his character. He shouts at Thanos, "I am not Asgardian."
Yeah.
But then before he tries to kill Thanos, he says, you know,
Odinson.
Just like, "I am, you know, I am the Prince of Asgard, proper, you know, the ruler of Jotunheim and Odin's son." And it's like, and he looks at Thor, he's like, "Look, I might not like everything that goes on with what happened in the past, but you're my bro."
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and I love you, and I'm doing this for you.
Yeah.
And just, yeah! And
he gets caught, and then he dies.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's neat as hell. Like, I was not expecting that.
It's kind of a neat, kind of a nice metaphorical kind of, it's a way to kind of baptize Thanos as the new big bad, because Loki was the original big Avengers villain.
Yeah, not only that, but so many fucking people liked him.
Well, that, and, you know, he had just beaten Hulk, too. Like,
full
on just... He puny godded
like
Hulk.
He's scared. Hulk actually whimpers. I love that. He's so confused and scared, and then Thanos knocks him the fuck out.
Yeah, but Loki was like their safe bet, like money. Like,
he was the money.
Because he's in a movie back then.
Yeah.
So to kill him off, it's like, okay, we're definitely doing something different.
Right. It's a way to say, hey, we just passed the torch on. This is the guy you've always been waiting for. He's here, and he's bad. But the first true, oh my god, they're going for it.
Death.
And the sound goes out except the music. And it's basically Thanos needs to get the Soul Stone.
Yeah, it's Thanos, Gamora, and the Red Skull.
And Red
Phantom,
Skull.
Yeah.
Wizard
and
Red Skull,
He's explaining, like, the requirements to get the Soul Stone.
You have to kill someone
you
love.
You have to sacrifice
he
something.
He says sacrifice another soul for a soul.
Something that you love. And
Thanos kind of starts crying.
And Gamora, who's standing behind him, goes,
gloating at him.
"This is your fucking failure. You are a failure because you don't love anything. You've never loved anything." And he turns around, and she sees him crying.
Right, he's looking.
And
tears.
She goes, he's looking at you.
Yeah. He looks her right in the face, and you're like,
"Do your Red Skull impression of the line."
It's not tears. It's not tears
it's
for
not
him.
Not tears for
it's
you,
not for him.
Him.
It's not for him. You know?
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh my god.
And then
god.
You realize, everybody realizes.
Here we go. Is he going to do it?
It's Gamora. Yeah. And
he
then
grabs
he reaches
her by
out,
the wrist.
Grabs
he
her by the wrist.
Her.
And she looks.
Slow-mo, and she's beating on him and screaming,
like,
and the sound goes out.
She's a little kid.
Right.
Like, and it fucks me up to. It fucked me up.
I didn't
up.
Know her blood was green.
Yeah, I
didn't either.
He throws her off a cliff, and then it kind of shows her body, and it's just blood's coming
pooling
out
of
her
head.
She's dead.
Did anybody think, like, oh, okay, Nebula's going to save her or something like that?
I kind of did
Nebula,
at first,
because was
going to
catch up.
Because
when
she started to escape, they had already left.
They showed, like, fall down the hill for, like, a while. I'm like, okay, it's going to happen.
Someone's going to
swoop
in.
Someone's going to come
in.
And then on the floor, like, green
blood.
And I'm like, oh, never mind.
Oh, by the way, I'm not sure... Have I missed something the two times I've seen this movie?
Probably.
But, like, Nebula's hanging in the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten the info out of her. They've stopped torturing her. The guy's putting her back together.
Mm-hmm.
And she tricks him by having her eye pop out. Mm-hmm. And she, like, grabs him and, like, breaks his neck or whatever.
Yeah.
And then in the next scene, like, it cuts. And even though she's repaired and her arm was fine when she killed the dude... all of a sudden her arm is broken again and she's limping with a broken leg.
I don't think her... I don't know about her leg.
Because if you look when he grab when she grabs him, her arm is normal. And then she, like, breaks the dude's arm and kills him.
Did she break the Magna locks that were holding her? Because maybe she had to basically dislocate all of her joints like she can to get out of there.
Well, maybe they didn't show it.
She was, like, magnetically held up by a force field.
It was a weird cut.
Yeah.
They might have cut a scene, an escape scene.
I think they might have cut some sort of quick battle.
Right.
So for a minute there, I thought I saw more than one dead body on the floor.
It's possible.
Just in the background. I'm sure
I was a fantastic.
By the way, they rogued one, this one, because there's a couple of, like, iconic trailer shots, and they're not in the movie.
Well, to be fair, Rogue One was had those different shots because it was reshot.
Right.
This was just
they're keeping a lot of shit from you.
Like in Civil War, they had the airport charging where they're turning at each other. No Spider-Man. In the movie, Spider-Man. In this one, they've got Cap holding the glove in that one trailer and it's only got the purple and blue. But in the movie, he also had the red and the orange.
Everything except the Mind Stone, basically.
Yeah, and the green stone as well. Yeah.
Right.
Digital technology has made it really easy for.
And then, of course, you know, Derek pointed it out. I didn't even remember that Hulk was in the trailer in Wakanda charging with the crowd.
All the heroic, and they're all running through the jungle, and Hulk comes in behind them, and you're like, yeah, the Avengers. That shot is not in the film. Yeah.
Nope, and Hulk's not in that part of the film.
Right, he stays Bruce Banner.
Yeah,
it's the
Hulk Buster.
He does kick ass, you know? He does a really good job.
Yeah.
Because why not?
I also like, you know, one of the last towards the end, it was another great Thanos scene because we just talked about the first true holy shit death is Gamora.
Mm-hmm.
There's him seeing her as a little girl and the soul realm.
After he snaps his fingers and everything blacks
before
out.
Before that last scene, it's her saying, was it all worth it? And he doesn't answer.
Well, she looks at him and she goes,
did you do it?
Did you do it? Yes. What did it cost?
Everything.
Right. And it's just, he doesn't. That's his way of saying, like, everything is in life.
Yeah.
But you're, like I said, that final look he gives, you don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
Because, spoiler for comic book readers, spoiler for non-comic readers, they might or might not do this, a big part of Thanos' character from the entire original Infinity War there's going to be an Infinity something part 2 probably next year. The Infinity
that's probably
Gauntlet.
What Avengers 4 is, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
His biggest weakness, it's not getting the glove off his hands, it's him.
Yeah.
He's genuinely struggling inside because I think if I remember correctly, he's only defeated, and it's by Spider-Man, by the way. I think it is, if I remember correctly. It's him saying, you want to lose. It's kind of the lamest, like, non-violent way out.
I could have swore the person who beat him was Adam Warlock.
It was either Warlock. I swear it was Spider-Man telling him that he knows what's going on in his head.
Yeah.
All I know is, like, I think, like, was it Mephisto? Or someone, like, tricked him into just, like, making himself intentionally weak. So,
right. It's like he wants to lose inside. Because no one ever posed a challenge. And in this movie, holy shit, nobody poses a challenge to him. So maybe that final look is like,
well,
I did it.
They almost got him. They almost had him. If it wasn't for fucking Star-Lord punching him in the face and breaking Manus's focus.
It's true to character, which is another great moment.
Well, there's that. And then there's the moment when Vision dies and is fucking...
He just tears it out of his head.
And you think, okay, it's over.
They blew the Infinity Stone,
and then
up, so
he
can't
fucking
get it.
Turns back time with the time stone.
But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Most people in my theater the first time saw that, and they're like, "Yeah, they did it. Sorry for Vision, but yeah, they beat him."
Yeah.
And I'm sitting like, "It's not over yet.
Yeah,
it's not over yet.
He's
got the time stone."
And then he reaches his hand out and does the green clock comes out, and he twists it, and you're like, "Oh, yeah, it's like a dial."
He rewinds time,
and you're sitting there like,
and Vision comes back.
And
rips that out of his head.
And we are all Scarlet Witch in that moment.
Yeah.
Screaming. No!
But that's another great moment.
Damn Thanos and his time warping.
But his big issue is he's upset. Genuine, I think maybe that's that final moment. He's like, where was the challenge? They let me do it. Like, I wanted to be stopped. Because deep inside, this guy wants to be stopped. He wants someone to stop him. But no one even stood a challenge. So it's almost, maybe that's a look of disappointment there. He's like, oh, a new sunrise. I'm kind of disappointed. I did just snap my fingers and that was it. Where's the fight? Where's the worthy challenger? Like,
some guy in the theater the first time I saw it, one of my coworkers, one of the bartenders, he's just like, he showed him how to beat him. And I'm like, what? He told them how to beat him. Just put the axe in his head. And I'm like, you cut off anyone's head, they're dead, moron.
Yeah.
He can't move his hand and activate the gauntlet if his brain's gone.
Yeah.
Shit.
I don't know. He's an alien.
Could have chopped his arm off, too. That would have worked fine.
Yeah.
But,
maybe his brain's in his chin.
One more.
Still, still his head. Maybe.
One more. Pulsing a few times.
Right.
One more iconic scene I want to talk about that we haven't really mentioned. The whole scene at on Nowhere. When they're going after the trying to stop them from getting the Reality Stone, and you've got T'Vaan there being tortured by Thanos.
But it's not really T'Vaan.
Yeah, it's all just an image of the Reality Stone.
Yeah, because Thanos already has it.
Yeah.
Right.
And Gamora comes in and just full on murders him like that.
Kills him hardcore. Yeah. And everyone's like, wait, is this like the big twist? Does he die halfway through and like Gamora goes evil and like, I can have the power? And she grabs the gauntlet.
Yeah, or like, yeah.
Right. He's like, oh my god. And then Drax is like, shit, I wanted to kill him. And then all of a sudden you see kind of a red flicker, kind of a...
Yeah,
like,
oh, as she's shit. As she's sitting there and she's sobbing,
right.
You hear him start to speak and tell her, like, I knew you cared about me. I knew you still loved me. I'm still your dad.
I thought he was the collector. That was the deal. Like, he put the collector in that case. I thought she was going to turn around and he was going to be in the case talking to her. And I'm like, oh, yeah. But it's the fact that that Reality Stone can create an illusion or show you what had been. You can show it.
What he wants you to
see. Right. So, like, Nowhere is actually burning to the ground, but they didn't see that until he... undoes it with the Reality Stone, and then it kind of the illusion gives up, and you're like, "Oh shit, he already won!"
I love the fake T'Vaan in the case, be like, "Bye bye,
you guys, did you do it? Wow, good job, bravo! Anyway, bye.
Magnificent, magnificent.
I guess I'm an illusion. Poof.
It's like he both was and wasn't in the movie.
That moment that we finally got to hear. Both Gamora and Star-Lord said they love each other.
Yeah.
They both kissed. It was beautiful.
That's how you kind of knew one of them was going to die.
Yeah.
beginning with the whole children talk, I'm like, oh no, Stark mentioned kids.
Yeah.
He's a goner. Oh shit. They brought kids into this.
He lived, his kid died.
Right.
His fucking surrogate child died.
And then you've got Quillenor saying, kissing and the whole thing before that really awesome Drax scene.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Gamora dies. And it's, oh my god.
It's a lot.
So much
it's a
death.
Lot. It's going to be something that all of us end up seeing again at some point.
Yeah.
In the very near future.
Yeah, like tomorrow. good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Probably going to wait like a little while. Right. I have a lot of friends that
I've got a couple
have you seen
days.
It yet, Nick? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically it.
We're going to lie to a lot of our family. And let's go to the IMAX.
Nick, why are you smirking so much? I'm so excited.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely going to be me watching other people watch it the second time.
Yeah.
And or maybe trying to catch the odd Easter egg. Because the only one I got is at the beginning, Ebony Maw shuts Thor up.
Yeah.
And wraps a nice little, what do they call it, the gay Bane look from the Honest trailer? The gay Bane.
Yeah.
It's actually a callback to Loki getting a silencer put on him.
Yeah, oh, in the very first Avengers.
So he sits there and there's a shot, and he's kind of looking down like, oh, I'm like, it looks kind of like the thing they put on Loki at the end of
the
Avengers to silence
first
him.
Movie,
yeah.
So I'm sitting there like, I mean, I guess that's a cool callback, but I bet you there's a billion Easter eggs as usual, but I can't catch too many. There's plenty of callbacks to some of the smallest moments in previous
in
films.
In the movies, yeah.
Even jokes that continue, and they do them again.
Yeah.
Mostly in the Guardian. Well, Drax just bringing down the house every time.
Yeah. The parachute and the new suit.
Right. Oh, not again. Oh, shit. Yeah. There's all sorts of little kind of.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Whoosh. Whoosh.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah.
And then I think you were starting on it, but it's a great scene when Banner's trying to Hulk out, but he won't. Like, nice to have you back, buddy. Real nice to have the Hulk back here. Yeah. Come on. Dude, do the thing. I can't. I'm trying. And he's kind of all jacked up.
He's like throwing it onto the ground.
Yeah.
Basically, he looks like Two-Face.
Right. You're like half of them is green and Hulkish, and the other half's all
blah.
No. What do you mean, no? Yeah, like, the fuck?
And that's cool. They finally have Banner talking to the Hulk and back and forth.
Hulk,
he's kind of talking to himself.
Yeah.
And I love that Hulk.
It's like, come on, Hulk. Come on. Come on, buddy.
Come on. We can really use a pickup here. Big guy. Big guy's coming. They're coming. Like,
you're embarrassing me in front of the wizards.
Yeah,
I will even take a half a Hulk. Come on.
Right.
A Hulk. Come on.
Yeah, you're embarrassing us in front of the swords. Yeah, the wizards.
Yeah.
They're both sitting there like, what's he doing?
Yeah, I love Madison fucking lost her shit when Spider-Man showed up. The big guy's going to attack Tony, and then poof, out of nowhere. Just like, hey, that's pretty cool. What's going on?
Yeah. Everyone, they keep showing off his strength.
Yeah.
And he's fighting Call Obsidian. I can't believe I remember these names. And the girl's Proxima Midnight.
I'm not surprised.
And Corvus Glaive is the leader, but he wasn't actually the leader so much as Ebony Maw was.
Yeah.
Because Corvus Glaive is like supposed to be like an adopted son of Thanos.
Yeah.
From like the more recent Hickman
run. They were all the children of Thanos.
Right. Well, they're all like related because Proxima Midnight's like Corvus's wife.
Oh.
And like I don't know if they're adopted son, but no, because he's a different race. But like, they're sort of they're kind of related to each other in a way. They're like a family, legitimately, after a certain point.
Yeah, but both Proxima and Corvus looked like elves and
they kind of did.
I would have loved if those were the dark elves.
They're
kind
of like the CG like Krypton sort of.
They did look goofy sometimes.
Krypton underlings. I didn't mind it too much. I just remember I kind of got that vibe from
the Man of Steel movie.
Yeah, that female Feyre elf lady.
And
Zod's
crew, basically.
Yeah. Luckily, they weren't too present.
They each get a spectacular
when you look
death.
At them, it's like, okay, that looks like a video game, but whatever.
Yeah. If it's just them, I guess they look all right when they're interacting with, like, the real assets.
Yeah.
But, like, I think it was just Proxima staring through, like, the Wakandan force field.
Yeah.
I remember kind of being like, ooh, we're getting into DCEU. We're stepping on
the territory. Like, Steve Rogers, everyone's walking towards them, and I'm like, they're not walking towards anything.
Right. The effects are mostly brilliant.
Yeah.
Although I find it hard to top Guardians Volume 2 in terms of color and trippy psychedelic holy shitness.
Yeah. Well, Ragnarok was pretty close with that.
Ragnarok's
but
pretty good too, but this one it's hit or miss, but mostly a hit.
Isn't it one of those cases where they put a lot of money in like certain effects, where there's like for every time like
others.
Rocket looks amazing,
right?
Thanos most of the time looks amazing. Then you're gonna have an occasional like, oh, that barrier looks kind of.
I've never liked how they've really made Spidey 2 CG. Like, but both him and Tony Stark they've gone full CG for the suits, and then they must film their heads. The head is the real asset.
Well, you saw Hulk's head there that one part when he poked his head out when Thor showed up.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you're all screwed now.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but like his head in there looked really weird. Especially like it's supposed to be that really heavy moment I mentioned at the very end when they're like, what the fuck happened? And Cap's just breathing. You see like Bruce's head sticking out of the Hulkbuster armor. And, like, the body's moving, and it just looks weird.
It's also, they do that kind of thing with Don Cheadle.
I think the proportions were a little off.
In War Machine,
sticking out like some weird ostrich. Like, hey, what's going on, guys?
Yeah, whenever you get the real performer's head coming out of a CG body or a suit.
It's kind
of
weird.
I think the proportions were a little off. For
Hulkbuster.
They kind
of made his head smaller. Because
it's funny, because the original Iron Man, the suit was mostly real when they can get it to be real, and then they put tracker markers on to add the pistons and things that would move. But I remember, like, Obadiah Stane coming out of his Ironmonger suit. And he looks pretty good, because you can tell it's a real Jeff Bridges and a big CG rig. But, I mean, hell, that looks good 10 years ago, and this one managed to...
They spent a lot of money on a lot of CG.
Right.
They made Rocket look great, even though Groot was a little weird at certain times.
Right.
Dinklage didn't fit the scenes he was in.
It was like the oldest trick in the book, is you just film them separately and superimpose them to make it
look bigger. I was sitting there like, hello, Hagrid.
Right, he's a giant dwarf, because they're the dwarves that forge the Asgardian weaponry.
Yeah.
And
the
he's just kind of...
Giant
dwarves. Yeah, and he's a big old fucking giant dwarf, you know.
Yeah. They spent a lot of money on the effects, especially with, like, I don't know how they did it, but they made the million Doctor Stranges look pretty cool.
Yeah.
When he split himself up into things. Although Madison's comment, like, okay, calm the fuck down, was funny.
Yeah, I was like, great, here we go.
He turns into the
I gotta watch fucking 50 Beanweeds.
The Shiva, whatever it is.
The great Vishnu.
Oh, yeah, the fucking Vishnu thing. That's where I sat there and I was like, oh, come the fuck on.
He looks really fucking
You realize he does that shit all the time in the comics, though.
Oh, yeah, it's supposed to be trippy.
Well, it's a white guy. Come on.
Yeah.
He's
practicing the mystic arts.
Right. He's a white guy.
But he learned it in India.
It's silly.
Yeah, he learned it in...
Karmataj.
Yeah, Karmataj,
yeah. I guess that's in Tibet. Or it's not Tibet. I guess it was India or whatever. But I guess we're getting towards a wrap-up here. There's not much I can think of.
I assume so. I got to go to work in the morning.
Right.
Yeah,
in terms of a first reaction.
Let's wrap this up. But this was an amazing fucking movie. Everyone, their final thoughts in a minute.
It'll leave you breathless.
Yeah.
It'll leave you breathless.
If you haven't seen it and listening to this, we've already spoiled the main things for you, so it might not leave you breathless at this point, but if you've seen it before this, you know how it feels.
No, even if you can see it coming, like I said, still no less powerful.
Oh my God.
Seeing it a second or a third time.
It's all about direction and action.
It'll leave you absolutely breathless.
Right. The only movie before this that I've seen more than like 3 times in theaters was Harry Potter 7 Part 2.
Yeah.
I saw it like 7 times in theaters. I am going to be seeing this movie way more than that. Before it leaves.
Do you want to give it a number out of a number?
Out of 10. Out of 10. That'll be your final thoughts. Look at the rating.
Because I don't have one.
Derek, out of 10. Final thought.
I'd give it a 9.
9?
No such thing as a perfect, a 10, but 9 is pretty, it's a Goliath, it's a colossus.
Okay, on that note, basically. Is this better than your previous favorite movie you mentioned in the beginning? Do you like this more than Winter Soldier?
Subjectively, yes. Objectively, as Winter Soldier being a self-contained film with an A, B, and a C plot and a story,
yeah,
no. But subjectively, in terms of enjoyment and spectacle and the payoffs, and holy shit, it's happening, we're here, it's been 10 years. Oh, right. Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Hell yes.
Madison, do you have a score yet?
9.5.
And does it beat out your previous favorite?
No, because there is a lot of emotion in this movie. There is a lot of things that this movie made me feel. But at the same time, I know that this isn't the end of the story.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Avengers 4 will end up hitting 10 for me. But this movie is a 9.5 for me.
Yeah.
But it does not beat out my favorite Marvel film.
I'm going to give it an 8. Only because of all the sadness and loss.
Yeah.
And now that I've seen it twice, the first time I saw it, the only person I cried for was Spider-Man.
Yeah.
This time I cried for everyone.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't help that the whole theater was basically...
bawling. Yeah.
There was a lot of people. Audible sobbing yeah. people. You will hear yeah. it if you're at a big opening night show tomorrow or on Saturday. If it's a crowd at the you're going to hear. And the poor kids. All the kids that are going to want to go.
I feel so bad because there were a bunch of kids in yeah, our theater.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the next 5 days worth of big showings and all the poor children that are just going to be destroyed.
Not even that. I guarantee you there are going to be kids in this movie who don't fully grasp the concept of death.
Right.
Yeah. And that the parents are going to, like, you know...
have to explain.
Did Spider-Man yeah. just die?
Yeah.
Did
Spider-Man go? Where'd Black
did
Panther
Falcon
go?
Did Falcon just die?
Yeah.
Scarlet Witch and Vision.
And that's not only going to hurt the kid when the parents tell them.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt the parent right. because the yeah. parents are going to be just as involved as the kids are.
Why was the bad
are.
Guy crying when he threw the green girl off the cliff? Like, oh, try to explain that. That takes yeah. about 10 hours to get
oh,
under that
my
guy.
God. All right. Nick...
It's been like 10 years, and you can only get Sam Jackson to say part of a motherfucker. 0 out of 10.
Okay, come on. Serious answer.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it's very good.
I don't know. I don't know. 8?
8?
I don't
okay.
know.
All right.
Does it beat out your previous favorite?
Does it beat out Guardians?
I don't know. I got to see it a few more times. Like, this is all initial reactions. I might hate it in a month, so we have
right.
to see.
Yeah. But initial reaction, did you enjoy it more than Guardians 2?
They're both here and there for me. They're just two different movies.
Yeah.
They're
right.
different.
By the way,
I don't know, man. They both had, like, pretty powerful deaths.
Yeah. Right. This...
Yondu.
You know, this is like a Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings epic. And, you know, that one was like about family and messages. They had their cats and dogs, elephants and giraffes.
Yeah.
Oranges and apples, basically.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I have to give it a little while. Until then, I'll just say 8, because...
I get you.
Who fucking cares?
Right. It's just very good. Don't listen to anybody. Don't go to the Rotten Tomatoes. Don't judge this by a number.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, after everyone seeing this, you're going to get a bunch of those first responders going and giving it low ratings because their favorite character died.
Right.
Yeah.
But it'll be transparent.
Yeah, the internet's
going to
be a toxic
gonna...
wasteland for the first few months of this movie.
Right.
And then it's going to get better, just like it always does with Marvel movies.
I don't know. It's been 10 years. If you're going to, you're going to see it.
Yeah.
Like, you hear that criticism, it's a very common one. It's the, you need to have understood it, but yeah. No shit. Yeah. So, very good.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody deter you.
Yeah, with that
to
criticism,
numbers.
I feel like it did a good job. Where
it did.
You can
the direction.
Get in, no one's going to walk in completely blind, but you can have basic understanding.
No, the Russo brothers, they've done it again. This is kind of their, they're going to get a fourth hurrah, but this is like their third big outing. And it's
nice.
if you like Winter Soldier and Civil War, it's that, but on steroids. It's hulked out. You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, this has been the Think Between Worlds podcast. If you guys want to share your opinions, feel free to hit us up on our email, thinkbetweenworlds@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. On Twitter, we are @TBetweenWorlds. On Facebook, we're Think Between Worlds. We've also got an Instagram where we post our updates and fun little pictures and puns that my good friend Derek here comes up with some help sometimes from Nick. It's pretty fun. We'd love to hear your opinions and what you thought of the movie. Shoot us those emails, and we'll see you in the next world.
This was us thinking about Avengers Infinity War.
I'm just so tired. I'm
really throwing in that thinking thing.
Yeah,
you didn't have to do that for this one.
I didn't deserve
talk that. Talk to you later, guys.
I did not deserve that.
I love you.
Now we're going to fucking fade out to just crying.
And I don't love you.
And now it's time for the crossover event of the century, the crossover credit sequence.
The Thing Between Worlds podcast was created by David Kennedy Farner and Derek Dillon.
It is hosted by David Kennedy Farner and Derek Dillon.
It is edited by me, David Kennedy Farner.
And it is produced by David Kennedy Farner, Derek Dillon, myself, and Madison Sneddon.
My girlfriend. Music by Kevin McLeod from incomptech.com.
And cover art by Davey Jones.
Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you
in the next world, into infinity
and beyond.
Because the infinity is part of the title of the film.
That's true.
And then Toy Story's not.
Well, it's kind of a crossover event. It has all those things in the other movies in it. It
has the word infinity.
That's true, but also like you see like a Finding Dory.